Hello, I'm Dawn Durham, and welcome to Patent Pod. We hear so much about these buzzwords, STEM, coding, makerspaces, but what does all this mean? We talk often about preparing students for jobs that have not yet been created, but how do we go ahead and do that? With us today to help decipher STEM and this understanding of pathway to problem solving and universal design is Jed Pittman. Thanks, Jed, for being here with us today and sitting down to talk about how we can gain a stronger understanding of what STEM is and how we impact our students for their future. So we appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Dawn. We're really looking forward to the conversation.
So your job is a special consultant to the Secretary of Education on STEM. So you travel around Pennsylvania enriching opportunities and instruction around this topic. Am I correct in explaining that correctly?
That's spot on.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. So let's start pretty basic here. STEM. I think a lot of people believe STEM is making and creating robots, but there's more to it than that. Can you help us out here?
Yeah, it's definitely more than creating robots. It's really about the difference between STEM as a siloed content definition, like science, technology, engineering, and math. That's sort of one camp. And then there's this idea that it's a way of thinking or a way of being or a way of doing, and that's another camp. And so in the process that we've went through with the support of the secretary, the deputy secretary, and of course the governor's office, is we've went on the ground to try to determine what is that difference and where does the field land. And what we found is that most educators really push STEM into the space of the way of doing, thinking. So if you think about problem solving, creating, communicating, that's where a lot of educators and a lot of leaders in the Commonwealth define STEM. And it's really important that we get it outside of that siloed content, because as you know, in education, we too often are in our lane and we won't think about crossing over or cross-pollinating work. So we made an intentional effort to make sure that our definition captured that process and that critical thinking, problem solving, more of the way of being, way of doing definition of STEM versus science, technology, engineering, and math.
I think that's a good point to bring up is, yes, it's about the doing piece, but so much of it and what we think of in to help our students propel them in the future and employment opportunities is the way of doing things, the critical thinking skills, the problem-solving skills, the collaboration that we know is a skill many of our students are going to need when they, you know, reach the workforce.
Right, right. So one of the things that we kind of got into that back and forth with folks on was all these acronyms around STEM. Mm-hmm. So STEM, STREAM, STEAM. And we wanted to make sure that within our common language that we encompass the arts, environmental sciences, that we encompass those things that aren't the first thing you think about when you hear STEM, like technology, engineering, and math. And when you look at the jobs, the opportunities for our youngsters and our learners are broad reaching. So when we think about what employers want and need, and you look at the bifurcation between what employers want and need, what educators say that we're leaving our learners with when they leave our system, there's definitely a breakdown. So the workforce has talked a lot about, well, we need folks to come in and be able to be quick on their feet, you know, resilient, strategic thinkers, problem solvers, be able to communicate with all different types of people because the workplace is so diverse, or be able to communicate up to their bosses. And STEM, when we define it in the way of doing, in the way of being, provides those opportunities for learners to begin to build that skill set and then gives them that access to those job opportunities. One of the things that employers often say is, we can teach them the content, or we'll put energy and investment into teaching kids those particular skills or content, but what we need them to come to the table with are those broad-arching things that we've been talking about. And you often hear educators talk about the four C's, so keep in that sort of that mental space of what we want to be trying to drive to. So when we think about that opportunity in the workforce, you know, we have baby boomers retiring, so when we think, you know, engineering or municipal jobs, whether it's like at your local wastewater treatment plant, and you're making sure to keep your drinking water safe and clean, there are going to be the opportunities for kids moving forward. And that's an opportunity that presents itself with a two-year technical degree. Versus, you know, when we think about STEM, often folks go right to that four-year, six-year, eight-year degree, and it goes across that spectrum. So we want to make sure that we're opening up those opportunities for kids across those spectrums. You had mentioned computer science and coding, that's mm-hmm. another good example of where the opportunities are. So in the Commonwealth, you can wrestle around what the debate is on the numbers, but it's somewhere between 17,000 and 21,000 open computer science jobs in the Commonwealth, wow. and they're unfilled today. So what we need to be doing as an educational organization is making sure that our P20 system provides our learners opportunities to dip into those experiences, mm-hmm. start to build that skill set with an intentional focus on the individuals that have been left out of that particular space. So females, students of color, historically underserved students, students with exceptionalities. We want to make sure that they're getting opportunities to learn in those spaces so they can access those 17 to 20,000 jobs that are currently open. And if we don't build that connectivity for our kids, mm-hmm. Those opportunities are going to go somewhere else. And we need to make sure that our systems is preparing our learners for those spaces.
And I think that leads us right into thinking about when we think about how we prepare our students for future employment opportunities. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm hearing you say today there's, let's just estimate at 20,000 open jobs that live in this STEM mm-hmm. space. Mm-hmm. You know, how are we, and we think, I don't want to just think about it through high school, I want to think about it in middle school and elementary school. How are we preparing our students, or how should we be preparing our students to take advantage of these opportunities and enhance their likelihood of not only inquiring about these opportunities, but really driving themselves towards this? What should we be doing?
So one of the things that we really need to think about is a child's experience from early childhood centers, whether mm-hmm. it's the traditional, like I'm going to send it to a mom and pops or a church center, or your more mm-hmm. streamlined, like school-like centers, to the whole way to the college or post-secondary continuum. And what we need to do is start early. And middle school isn't early enough. We need to start in early elementary and that early learning center to make sure kids start to get those experiences, mm-hmm. whether it's through a tool like that's similar to this, like BBots, where kids in kindergarten and early learning are starting to learn their letters and do some block coding, just to begin to build what we like to call that STEM identity or that computer science identity. You could take identity mm-hmm. and put it in front of any of the sort of content spaces. We want to make sure that our learners start to build that. And that starts with exposure early on. And it isn't just exposure to the learning experience or the content. When one of our pillars is to make sure that it's around equity and access. And not just access, like I have the opportunity, but deep access into the content. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that kids are seeing themselves in that space. So it isn't just putting the picture of Einstein up in your room to make sure that that's who they think of as a scientist. It's making sure that they can see people that look, sound, and feel like themselves, whether it's that student of color or whether it's that socioeconomic status story that you need to tell. So they understand that this is attainable and I can mm-hmm. begin to build that identity. One of the activities that I used to do when I was in the classroom was like you would start, you know, week two, week three after you build that relationship with your students, and you'd say, so draw me a scientist. Mm-hmm. And too often, regardless of demographic of student, what do they draw? They draw that crazy scientist mm-hmm. with crazy hair that is a male and is white, and that's who they see a scientist as. Or have you had that experience where you have a teacher come up to you and says, well, I wasn't good at that when I was in school. Mm-hmm. So those little signals that we make, it's making sure that, you know, in your PowerPoints, in your dialogue, that you span the diversity of who can be a STEM professional. And in your conversation with learners and students, that you're really intentional about sending subtle messages. And that starts early on. Too often we hear about elementary teachers, especially female elementary teachers, saying to another female student, well, I wasn't that good at math, that's okay. And we can't perpetuate those stereotypes. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that they understand that this is attainable. If I want to be in math or computer science or engineering, I can do that regardless of who I am. So it starts early on, and it starts with making sure that early learning experience is coherent or aligned with an elementary experience, with a high school experience, a middle school experience, and then that leading into post-secondary.
And I know I've shared this story with you before. My daughter's teacher did the same activity back in, I think it was third grade, mm-hmm. where draw a scientist, and she was the only one that drew herself on the whiteboard.
Wow, yes.
And you know, she has aspirations of being a geologist, and that's something that at home we're trying to say, yeah, go for it. If you mm-hmm. want to do this, this is something you should be doing. And her response often is, well, people think it's silly, or they say it's only for boys to play with rocks, or, and you know, mm-hmm. so it is a little bit of not just at school, but at home also, is mm-hmm. communicating with families to continue, as you were saying, keep that message going that we can attain these skills and these goals if this is what we're going for.
Right.
It doesn't have to be one group of people that become the scientists, mm-hmm. That go through this process, mm-hmm. that, you know, have this degree. It could be any of us, mm-hmm. if that's where you're going. And what I hear you saying is we need to be very mindful and intentional about the messages we're putting out there, even if we don't realize what we're putting out there, mm-hmm. Being cautious to ensure that we're giving the message of support and absolute that you can reach this goal, mm-hmm. if this is what you're looking to do.
Right. And it is like pairing, you know, thinking about how can I partner with our community or our workforce partners or a business down the street or whomever it may be that you can find that connectivity to, that you get folks in front of our learners that mm-hmm. allow them to see themselves. So, you know, when you have that guest speaker or that 500 person reading challenge or what it is, as a system, making sure that those individuals that come into your school reflect the diversity of your school.
Okay.
And that really provides that opportunity to begin to build that identity. I'm so glad to hear that you said about geologist,
mm-hmm.
because that is the broader scope, yeah. of where STEM takes you. It could be that environmental scientist, it could be the geologist, it could be the person that wants to go, you know, work in the construction trades. It's amazing how many of those skills that you need in those particular spaces around problem solving and critical thinking. And STEM really sets you up for that. And even if, like, I think about, too, if you want to be, you know, something in the social sciences, or you have goals of being governor someday, that the skills that you build in the STEM space, being evidence-based, being able to, you know, argue a particular point based on data and analysis, that's going to bode well regardless
Everywhere.
Of the space that you travel.
Absolutely. So I want to circle back to this because we kind of alluded to it, but I just want to make sure I'm pointing it out. When we think about problem solving and critical thinking skills and the space of STEM, not mm-hmm. just the doing it, but the thinking and the process
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think we alluded to it. It really runs preschool all mm-hmm. the way up through high school and mm-hmm. even into college years.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think we focus so much, or at least the perception is that we focus so much on the upper grade levels, mm-hmm. and we're just now really starting to bring it into the elementary level? Why is it that we kind of got stuck in that space, do you think? You think it was just this is how we're thinking about it, we weren't really thinking about our little ones doing this, or are we just finally now realizing this is beneficial for all students to promote future enhancement, future employment for later on in life? What do you think?
That's definitely a dicey question, mm-hmm. in that there would be folks that would say some of where we're at is a result of you know, kind of treasuring what we measure in education. Mm-hmm. So over the last 20 years, we've really been focused on reading and math and making sure that we build students' aptitude and opportunity in that particular space. And it's not to supplant those experiences and STEM is the only way to go. The sweet spot is finding a way to, when we're building a student's reading fluency or math fluency, embedding some of those broader spaces into that. So, like, if you're doing your reading block, thinking about a nonfiction text, or even if you're doing a fiction text, like something like The Lorax, that you're able to build off of that and give them a broader experience. Let them engage in some problem solving and critical thinking around that particular text. And it isn't that we're doing one or the other. It's about that consistency. We started mm-hmm. the conversation with siloed. And math and reading have been too siloed away from all the other disciplines. So mm-hmm. we get into this lane where we focus just on that. And if we can broaden that focus and expand the experience, that's one thing that will help. I think another reason we may have fallen into this sort of lane of focusing on high school versus early elementary is, you know, we haven't really started talking to our kids about career readiness mm-hmm. until really more recently. And that acceleration of understanding what the end goal is, or if you think back to your classroom experience, how many times did a student say to you, why am I doing this? Sometimes that STEM experience can give you the context for the why, and then you embed all those foundational skills into that. And then that why sometimes gives you the clean line of sight to what the opportunity is moving forward. So, you know, talking in a manner with which to educators and leaders that we're saying we are really focused on career readiness, not just college readiness, because that also makes a siloed camp. Like, it needs to be around career, because it might be, I get a, you know, I have this wonderful experience in preschool, elementary, I'm learning all about all these great things that I want to do in the STEM space, and I come out of it, what I want to do is go to CTE and become a welder, and I want to work on bridges, or I want to be an underwater welder, or what have you, and you're helping with the infrastructure. That may come out of a certificate, like an OCTI, and then a little bit of post-secondary training, but you don't necessarily need to have the four-year degree. So making sure that we're talking to our little ones around, like, career, these are the opportunities that you have in front of you. Those two spots may help us get to a better space around like, why do we do this, and how can we shift that focus from high school to early elementary. It's easy to talk to high school kids about career or next steps because it's right in front of them.
They can see it.
Right.
They see
but
the light.
We need
the
to
sun.
Start that conversation early so that you're building that experience for our little ones.
And keeping everything. And I'm glad you said that, because look, as a reading interventionist for the majority of my career, I would sit there and say STEM's not for me. I'm going to teach them how to decode words and how to understand those words. But and you're really pointing out something that I think we need to pay attention to, is if I keep myself siloed over here in this little box, I'm not offering my students an opportunity to expand, an opportunity to explore what's out there for them. So reading a book like The Lorax and thinking through, well, what could this mean for the environment? What could this mean for the future? What could you do to prevent this? And it's things we do naturally, you know, as teachers, we're always thinking, well, what does this mean for you? What do you think this is trying to say for us? But bringing into that, that's STEM.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
It, you know, while I didn't have them build a robot,
right.
It is STEM in the sense of they're thinking critically, they're thinking about problem solving, and they're thinking about how it impacts the larger presence around them versus just this individual.
Right.
So I'm
it's
glad
the building block.
That.
It's
yeah.
the precursor, you know, and it's going to take all of us coming to that space and getting uncomfortable, you know, like it would be the same conversation that you might have had with a colleague that was a science or a math teacher, say, and when they have that conversation, well, I'm not a reading teacher,
yes.
but you are a reading teacher, because we're all trying to get to the same space. We need, you know, we need our kids to be able to understand language, be able to read, be able to write, do all of those, like, what some folks may say foundational skills, but they're lifelong, and if it means that in the science class or in the STEM special or the technology class, that's the hook that gets a kid excited about math or reading, that's okay.
Go for
so
it,
it's
yeah.
good that all of those content spaces have the conversations with their reading and math specialists so that they can ingrain that. I mean, it goes both ways. It isn't just like you thinking about that space. It's it's a two-way street. And when we get into the opportunity, or there's the space to breathe in our system, our K-12 system, for teachers and coaches and administrators to have those honest conversations, it is only going to benefit our kids on the back end.
Now, for those that are out there listening and they're hearing this and they're saying, okay, I can start thinking a little bit more intentionally and purposefully about the images or the message I send to my students pre-K all the way up through. I can start thinking that STEM's not just about the doing, but about the process.
Mm-hmm.
What if they're looking at, or they're listening to this and they're saying, well, how do I find out more? Mm. Where should I go, or who do I talk to, or where do I turn to find out how can I be embedding STEM and this problem solving and critical thinking more into my classroom? Where can we direct them?
Well, you know, one of the spaces that we can direct them is here internally, like at our patent system. So we have experts here that can help you with that. But each of our regions has intermediate units. So we have 29 intermediate units across the Commonwealth that service a particular catchment zone, which could be anywhere from a county to a multi-county, and then the schools within that particular geographic location. And each of those 29 intermediate units over the last 3 years, what we've decided to do is give them a STEM point of contact.
Okay.
And that STEM point of contact will provide free professional supports for any school district in their particular space. Hmm. That STEM point of contact then also is able to open up the dialogue with the intermediate unit systems, because they do have other ancillary opportunities that will support that. It may not be free, but may be part of their fee-for-service package, but will support that work. That's sort of like in a local space where you could go for support. You know, when we think about the wonderful space of the internet, you know, there's a lot of great stuff out there. So, you know, there's a site that's been research-based. We're in partnership with the University of Washington and University of Colorado through an NSF grant, a National Science Foundation grant, to build STEM tools that are accessible to every learner. So there is a site under the University of Washington that's called STEM Tools. That's a great space to go find from the the end experience, you know, the performance experience, mm-hmm. to the like sentence stems to get your students talking about data or to get your students asking the right question. That's a really good spot to find research vetted tools, and then also tools that have been tried in multiple states. So that's a really good spot. And then, you know, of course, you can go to more general spaces like National Science Teacher Foundation. They have a lot of tools around that. But those would be the first spots that I would land. And then, you know, to kind of look forward, in collaboration with our intermediate units and roughly about 50 educators across the Commonwealth, in December of 2018, we'll be releasing the first portion of what we're calling our STEM Toolkit. And that STEM Toolkit will be not just lessons and units, it might be scheduling tools, it might be sentence stems for engaging in data dialogue, educator to educator, but it will be a suite of tools that was generated across the Commonwealth with 11 intermediate units, 50 educators, and then vetted through a vetting process after like the initial development. And then those vetted tools will go out on OER Commons and the SAS portal, and then we're gonna go back to the well and start to do that again. In addition to the STEM, broader STEM tools, we also have our intermediate unit partners, Delaware County Intermediate Unit and Allegheny Intermediate Unit, working on a specific to computer science toolkit that is an administrative framework and then a K-12 framework. So we'll continue to build those resources out over the next 6 to 18 months, and you'll be able to find them on OER and SAS, and they're going to be aligned to our science standards. They're going to be aligned to our math standards. We're trying to align them to our reading, and then also our new career readiness standards. So you're going to see that those things are crosswalked, and they should be shelf ready for an educator to begin to dip their toes into some of this work. So that would be some spaces that I would look for moving forward.
There's plenty of opportunity, it sounds like. I mean, between the patent system, the IU system, I think you said STEM Tools was the name of the site.
Yeah, so STEM Tools, STEM and that's through the University of Washington in Boulder, so that's vetted.
Okay, great.
Really good resources.
Okay, and then we ourselves are putting out a STEM Toolkit come December, which would be a great resource. Mm-hmm. And I like when you say shelf ready, because as teachers, we just have limited time to go and create and find.
Right.
And when we have something that we know is coming from a good source, it's been tried and true. You know, it came from not just those in the field, but it came from the IU partners. You said it came from practitioners in the field who are, you know, in the trenches with us doing the work. That makes a huge difference to an educator and to someone in the field. So I'm glad to hear you say that. We'll be looking for that in December for that to come out.
Yeah, and that idea of engaging the field, that has been a hallmark of the STEM work for the last 3 years. We want to make sure that practitioners and folks that are closest to our learners, or for that matter, folks that are closest to the workforce, are building our language, are building our experiences, and have the opportunity to inform what we're doing at the highest level, from, you know, like a STEM toolkit to policy choices. So that's something that we really want to focus on, and we continue to try to engage those individuals. So we have a group, we call it the Pennsylvania STEM Coalition. It currently has about 400 individuals that are engaging. And then what we try to do is, when I'm out doing stakeholder sessions or at events, trying to gain more folks that want to be part of that particular experience. So it's you know, insert yourself when it works and provide support when you have the time or space. And if you don't come back to us for 6 months, that's okay. You're not out of the you're not out of the coalition. There's no expectation along those lines. It's just that we're all in the same boat, trying to move the lens and move the mission forward for making sure that every learner has an opportunity at this. So
that's a
great opportunity for folks to engage, and if they want to share resources, that's a great space to share some resources, and then we can push it out.
Oh, wonderful. And again, nearly 400 people in this coalition, you can't get a better representation from across the state, because you know they're coming from diverse backgrounds and diverse teaching experiences and teachings and school settings. So that's great to hear that that's been a hallmark of the work that you all are doing at the state level, because I think that's important to those of us that are here on the ground.
Yeah,
so we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you for being with us today, just to help us understand not just the doing of STEM, but the process and what it looks like, and how we as educators in the field can really be very mindful and very diligent and intentional about how we're portraying these problem-solving skills, these critical thinking skills, so that our students have pre-K through high school have the opportunity to go out in the future and really find employment That expands, you know, maybe it's not a four-year college degree. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something else that's still something that we need in this world, and we're, you know, we're glad to be able to promote that for our students. So thank you for being here to do that with us.
Well, we appreciate it. It was a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll do it again. Maybe we can focus in on some different STEM topics.
That would be excellent. Yeah. So I have to ask, we ask this of all of our guests, mm-hmm. when we think about creating a way in which inspiring educators to grow professionally, to grow in their own knowledge, what kind of advice would you offer to educators who want to grow in their professional knowledge?
You know, I think just getting out there and not being afraid to take the risk to try something new. We get, like, it's really easy to stay in that comfort lane where it's like, mm-hmm. I've done this particular experience for the last 5 years, it's worked, I'm gonna continue to go to that well. But just finding small opportunities, maybe it's the text that you choose, or maybe it's the way that you're gonna do your do now, your early engagement activity, or maybe it's how you're gonna wrap up your activity, and try to test the waters in some new spaces, and then really lean on your colleagues. Don't be afraid mm-hmm. to open your door and say, hey, like, I wanna work on this. I want to work on, you know, communication and building kids' communication skills. Can you come in and check that out and see what I'm doing and getting feedback? We're only going to grow as a professional if we grow together and we're willing to, like, open those doors and be vulnerable and expose ourselves to an experience that we otherwise may feel a little uncomfortable in. So that would be one thing. And then, you know, just be willing to check out what is going on in your community. You know, we talk about this this approach called an ecosystem approach. And one thing that I've learned over the last almost 3 years is there's amazing things going on. And those amazing things could be going on, like, the classroom down from you. Mm-hmm. They could be going on at the Science Center, an after-school program. They could be going on with a workforce partner. Try to figure out what is happening in your region, because regardless if you're in Smethport in the Northern Tier or you're in Philadelphia, there are amazing assets that are there, and we just need to harness them. So get out of that little bit of comfort zone and figure out what's out there, and don't be afraid to ask folks. Like, it's amazing how many people want to provide resources, whether it's, like, that person to come in so you can build that STEM identity for a young learner, or they want to provide just their content expertise, or, heck, they might even want to be willing to, like, fund a project that you're doing. So I think they would be the two things that I would really encourage folks to do. And I know that's hard. You know, it's hard to find the time, but, you know, just little chunks of time, it's amazing. 10 minutes here, one activity there, and then you start to build that repertoire and that space to try something new.
So get out of your comfort zone and be aware of what's going on, and don't hesitate to ask, what's going on over there? Is that something I may be involved with or that I could bring over to my classroom?
Yeah, and be that person that's willing to go to the math or reading teacher and say, hey, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, and how can what you're doing benefit what I'm doing? Like, so that the kids walk from door to door to door and understand that this is all connected. This will lead to better opportunities in the future.
That huge collaboration piece. Yeah. You can't say enough about it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for being here. We truly appreciate that. Thank you to all of you in the field. You truly inspire educational growth in your students every day. A special thank you to John Ragsdale for producing this podcast. We'll see you next time on Patent Pod. Thank you.